Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 11. Nehemiah chapter 11. Now, the leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem, but the rest of the people cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while 9/10 remain in the other cities. And the people blessed all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. Now, these are the heads of the provinces who lived in Jerusalem. But in the cities of Judah, each lived on his own property in their cities, the Israelites, the priests, the Levites, the temple servants, the descendants of Solomon's servants, and some of the sons of Judah and some of the sons of Benjamin lived in Jerusalem. From the sons of Judah, Athaiah, the son of Uzziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Amari, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Perez, the son of Messiah, the son of Baruch, the son of Kolhaze, the son of Hazaziah, the son of Adiah, the son of Joarib, the son of Zechariah, the son of the Shilonite. All the sons of Perez lived in Jerusalem, were 468 able men. Now these are the sons of Benjamin, Salu, the son of Meshullam, the son of Joad, the son of Padiah, the son of Koliah, the son of Messiah, the son of Ithiel, the son of Jeshiah, and after him, Gabai and Salai, 928, and Joel, the son of Zikri, was their overseer, and Judah, the son of Hasanua, was second in command of the city. From the priests, Jediah, the son of Joarib, Jachin, Sariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Merioth, the son of Ahitub, the leader of the house of God, and their kinsmen who performed the work of the temple, 822, and Adiah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Peliah, the son of Amzi, the son of Zechariah, the son of Pashur, the son of Malchijah, and his kinsmen, heads of fathers' households, 242, and Amashai, the son of Azarel, the son of Azai, the son of Meshilamoth, the son of Immer, and the brothers, valiant warriors, and their 128, and their overseer was Zabdiel, the son of Hagadolam. Now, from the Levites, Shemaiah, the son of Hashub, the son of Azrakam, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Buni, Shabbatai, and Jozabad, from the leaders of the Levites who were in charge of the outside work of the house of God, and Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, who was a leader in beginning the thanksgiving at prayer, and Bakbukiah, the second among his brethren, and Abda, the son of Shammua, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun, all the Levites in the holy city were 284. Also the gatekeepers, Akub, Talmon, and his brethren who kept watch at the gates were 172. And the rest of Israel, of the priests and of the Levites, were all in the cities of Judah, each on his own inheritance. But the temple servants were living in Ophel, and Ziha and Gishpa were in charge of the temple servants. Now the overseer of the Levites in Jerusalem was Uzi, the son of Bani, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micah, and this from the sons of Asaph, who were the singers for the service of the house of God. There was a commandment from the king concerning them, and a firm regulation for the song leaders day by day. And Pethahiah, the son of Meshezabel, of the sons of Zerah, the son of Judah, was the king's representative in all matters concerning the people. Now, as for the villages with their fields, some of the sons of Judah lived in Kiriath Arba, and its towns in Dibon, and its towns, and in Jacobzeel, and his villages, and in Jeshua, and Moladah, and Beth Pelet, and in Hazar Shual, and Beersheba, and its towns, and in Ziklag, and Mekona, and its towns, and in Enrimon, in Zora, and Jarmuth, Zanoah, Adullam, and their villages, Lachish, and its fields, Azekiah, and its towns. So they encamped from Beersheba as far as the valley of Hinnom. The sons of Benjamin also lived from Geba onward at Michmash and Aijah, and at Bethel and its towns, at Anathoth, Nob, and Aniah, Hazor, Ramah, Gittam, Hadid, Zeboam, Nebalet, Lod, and Ono, and the valley of craftsmen. And from the Levites, some divisions in Judah belong to Benjamin. Amen. Okay, a lot of names, a lot of different things going on. This is the big picture item, okay, that you have to understand from this time. Remember, before the Israelites go into exile, they are how many kingdoms? This is the time of Rehoboam, remember? There are how many kingdoms? Two. So you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Now they're taken back from exile, and what are they? They're now one kingdom again. They're now, the Bible tells us, they call themselves Israel once again. And this has a multifaceted meaning and all kinds of things. You know, one, if we look at it verily in a militarily as well as in terms of civic and protection, they need to be one. Two, they cannot divide their forces. They're already tiny compared to other nations around them. And they have the southern kingdom and northern kingdom. And to be fighting with each other in the midst of the time is just national suicide. And so what does God do? In order for the preservation of their existence. And you notice it's still happening today, right? I mean, you know, every day there's a threat to Israel for their annihilation. Now, they could be real threats or unreal threats, who knows? But, I mean, there are certain segments of the region that has said death to Israel, they're not a nation, and so on and so forth. So this is still ongoing. But for the preservation of the nation, God sends them to exile to bring them back united. Now, this should really speak to us about our lives, right? Because a lot of times when we go into exile, or maybe, you know, the terminology that we Christians use today is go into the desert or go into the wilderness or some kind of experience, you need to understand first and foremost that if the Lord is sending you there, it's for your preservation. It's for your well-being. It's for your good. Now, with that said, I've met a lot of Christians, right, that said God sent them to exile, but actually they went to exile on their own. You know what I mean? Like, you know, oh, why is God doing this to me? Well, you shouldn't have had that one-night stand. You know, you shouldn't have gone to the bar and got drunk, right, and then went home with that guy. Come on, you know. I think you went into self-exile as a result. Or, you know, you probably shouldn't, you know, have cheated that person, you know, in this business deal. No wonder, you know, everything is going pear-shaped now in this way. You shouldn't have lied, you know, about this contract, and so on and so forth. And so I think a lot of times what we consider to be God's exile actually is our own exile. We, because of our sin, we actually take ourselves outside of the covering of God. It's, you know, I say this all the time, right, at church. God never moved. We moved. And we moved outside of that covering. And so that's a lot of things that happens here. But this, obviously, God and you know, Jeremiah, the prophet, other prophets speaking to this time, make it very clear that God sends them into exile, but it's for their preservation. They come back, and to be quite honest, before exile, it was mayhem. I mean, it was just bad. Sin was abounding. Things were happening to their own people. I mean, it was so bad. And to save Israel, to save Judah and Benjamin and all the tribes, God sends them out for a season to refine them and brings them back in fullness with miracle after miracle after miracle. You notice that in a couple different passages here, particularly in verse 11 or chapter 11, you hear that the musicians, the temple service, all these things were actually not by the order. I mean, it is the order of God. It's not by the order of the Jewish leaders. It's by order of the king of Persia. He's the one who lays out, and he says it was his edict that said these things should be done in this way. You could see, was it 22? Now the overseer of the Levites in Jerusalem, Uzi and Bani, were the singers. 23, for there was a commandment from the king concerning them and a firm regulation for the song leaders day by day. You see this a couple times in this chapter, and you see that, you know, not only God miraculously brings them back, rebuilds a temple in 53 days, the porch, does all these different incredible miracles, saves them, brings them, and then the king's own edict, which brings a kind of a protection over this place as this happens. And I think that's a huge, huge lesson for us, right? That you know, this is going to happen, brothers and sisters. There's going to be times in our lives where God will send us into exile. Well, he'll send us into some wilderness or some desert experience. But, I mean, personally, having gone through this in my life, I can talk about on the way out. Obviously, when I was in it, you know, I wasn't thinking, whoa, this is such a blessing from the Lord. You know, I was thinking, man, this is horrible. But coming out of it, I realized it was for my good and absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. And, you know, and you heard me tell this testimony here at church, you know, frequently. That, to be quite honest, I would not be in Hong Kong. My wife and I, we would not be in Hong Kong, except for this time of refreshing. And I could probably even say I probably would not be married to my wife, unless God sends me to the wilderness and refines me. I'll tell you just a little bit of the story. And so, you know, I was the youngest campus minister actually in the whole country. And I was at a Christian school. I was the campus pastor, the chaplain. Most of my peers were in their 60s. You know, I wasn't even 30 yet. You know, I was still in my late 20s, and I get this position. And now, you know, I'm pastoring my professors, you know, when I was an undergrad, you know, just about 6 years before. And it's just a crazy time. And so I come. And, you know, during this time, I become, for whatever reason, I become kind of the de facto Asian face for a prayer movement that's happening all throughout. And so, you know, I get job offers, you know, from the Billy Graham Association. I mean, a lot of different organizations. They want me to come join. And, you know, I'm getting wine and dined and all these things. And so I can honestly say my head was getting pretty big. You know, I was getting pretty prideful. And I just thought I was the man. And, you know, I'm getting offer after offer, and things are happening, and I'm traveling, you know, around the world and doing all these different things. And life seemingly is going pretty well, but my heart was getting very, very hard. But I didn't know it. You know, I thought I was favored by God. You know, this is like the blessing of the Lord. And so, long story short, you know, I heard the Lord say that don't take any job. Just go help my old pastor who just moved back to California from Canada, you know, go help your pastor. Don't take a salary, you know, and just serve in this new church plant. Because, you know, I wanted to learn about church planting. And I said, yes, sir. But even that was full of pride, you know. I mean, I would never say it on the outside, but inside I was like, look at me. I'm living a sacrificial life. You know, I am sacrificing. I must be a great Christian. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, Jesus, again, I would never say this on the outside, but in the inside, I would think thoughts like, man, Lord, you are lucky to have me in your kingdom. You know, I can do a lot of things for you in your kingdom. But totally unaware. You know how they say pride is like bad breath, right? Everyone knows you have it except for you. Right, I mean, all you got to get in the vicinity of someone, you're like, oh, okay, you know, I think you need a mint, man. But when that happens, we don't know. We're the last ones to know that we have pride. And so so in the midst of that, you know, 6 months strong, right? I'm serving with all my heart, and then you know, after about 6 months, I don't know about your willpower, but my willpower ends about 6 months, all of a sudden, man, right? All the chinks start revealing themselves in the armor, and I start complaining. You know, why am I not getting my opportunity? You know, I'm a better preacher than him. You know, why is he preaching, you know, every Sunday, right? I mean, his English is not even that good. You know, and I'm just being very critical, you know, all throughout this time. But it's an inner battle. I'm not sharing with other people, but it's an inner battle, and God has to just break me down and break me down and break me down. Did you know in the beginning, and I served there for 2 years. This is my 2-year wilderness. You know, in the beginning of those 2 years, did you know I got invited? I got asked to move to Hong Kong and pastor, become the English minister at Hong Kong Korean Church. And, you know, that was 2 years. It was in the beginning I was asked, and I said, no. You know, are you kidding me? You guys have like 3 people. You know, like, do you know who I am? Do you know what kind of, you know, people follow me in the U.S. and, well, you want me to come move to Hong Kong? Are you crazy? And then after 2 years, right, you know, that offer still stands. And I was like, do you still want me? You know, is that spot still available? And that's basically how my wife and I moved out to Hong Kong. And it's that wilderness. See, God, when he brings us to that place, like he brought the Israelites, when he leads us into that place, it's for your good. And so my best advice is to figure out why you're there. You know, and it's not someone else's fault. It's so easy to blame other people. As sinful people, we do that. It's something that God wants to do in your life. and try as quick as you can to figure it out and repent and return, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that's precisely what happens here in this place. God takes Israel, takes Judah, sends them into the wilderness of Babylon, and in Babylon they flourish. They're still growing in population. They're growing in wealth. They're in captivity, but God's doing incredible things during this time. By the way, there's great leaders that are develop out of this space. And then yet in the midst of all that stuff, God brings them back to preserve them and to make them even stronger. That's God's intent. You know, where Joseph in I think it's Genesis 50 or 52, he says, what the enemy caused for evil, God turned it for good. And this is what the Lord will do. Now, the enemy wants to drive you to the wilderness because he wants to drive you away from God. But God may take you for a season in that place. And listen, even if it's your own doing or if it's the Lord's doing, there's still a purpose of the Lord that's there. And he wants to bring you out of that place into, you know, a place of flourishing, but also it's a place of preservation. He wants to preserve you. He wants to preserve the destiny that's on your life. And then sometimes you have to ask yourself, well, is going through a little bit of hardship, is that worth the destiny of God? Paul says it in a really beautiful way, and he says this is just basically momentary light affliction compared to the glory that God has in store for us. Brothers and sisters, is the glory that God has in store, is the restoration and the destiny that God has for your life, is that greater than momentary light affliction? For me, particularly in this season, I've had other seasons, but 2 years in the wilderness. Is it worth it to see what God does? I think so. I mean, on Sunday, I got a firsthand seat to God's glory, you know, and seeing all these kids. And, you know, last Sunday it was not only just meaningful because obviously, you know, my eldest got baptized, but I saw so many kids, you know, that, you know, when we first started SP, we can just dream of, right? You know, Kiwan's daughter. You know, I knew Kiwan fresh out of college, right? Moving back to Hong Kong. And I remember in my office praying for him that he would find a job, right? And then praying for him that he would get married. And, you know, and then praying for him that, you know, they would have kids. And now we get to baptize his eldest, you know. I mean, I met Jimmy and Boyan the second week after they got married. You know, they came to church in our first location, you know, and they stuck around, right? And, you know, just praying for them all throughout their marriage and then over their kids and, you know, to baptize two of their kids. And is the glory worth it? Heck yeah, it's worth it. You know what I mean? I mean, I would take 10 years, you know, even more so to see that kind of result and all these kids coming to the Lord and being baptized. And it's such a powerful reminder, you know, of the goodness of God. I mean, what would you give to walk in that destiny? And maybe there's some refining that God wants to do in our lives. Maybe the wilderness is the best thing for us in our lives. So let's close our eyes. If you are in the wilderness right now, take heart. Take courage. God is doing something. He is rewriting your story. God's not left you. He's not forsaken you. He is with you, and he wants to preserve you and lead you into his glory. So be encouraged today. For others, maybe you feel like you're starting to step into that place. Allow the Lord to take His time to lead you. Or maybe everything is hunky-dory in your life right now. Pray David's prayer in Psalm 139. He says, "Search me and try me, O God, and see if there be any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in the everlasting way." You know, exile is not such a bad thing, especially in the light of eternity. So no matter what stage you're at right now, let the Holy Spirit speak to you to give you encouragement and faith to take one step at a time.
Spirit within me.
Let's pray this morning. I should mention that in the passage that we read, you know, there was one particular family, and before the first and second offering on the day, that their job was to give thanks. They usually did it with a song or through a psalm. That's why we sing every morning before the Lord to give Him thanks. And so I want to encourage you that if you're in the wilderness, give thanks. If you're about to go into it, give thanks. If you need to get into it, give thanks. In all circumstances, give thanks. For the scripture tells us, because that's God's will in Christ Jesus. And so whatever is going on in our life, let's give thanks that Jesus is working it out for us. In that wilderness, He's refining us. He's purifying us so He can preserve us. He can lead us into our destiny. And let's pray. Let's pray for the discipline of the Lord. And let's give thanks. And let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are going through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray for Hong Kong this morning. Let's pray over our government. Let's pray over the protests that are happening and that there would really be peace and reconciliation and forgiveness and repentance throughout our city. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap, which is in many ways one of the causes. Let's really cry out for revival in this place. Let's lift up churches of the gospel will be preached powerfully. Pray for our friends ministering here, Sports Services, International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice. Let's pray for the Korean church. Pray for Hong Kong students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city right now before the Lord. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask that God would strengthen our staff, that we would serve the Lord with all of our heart, that it would be more than a job. It was the calling of God in our lives, and we serve the Lord with all of our being. Let's just lift up. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and barista. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our volunteers, that really the Holy Spirit would be leading, and every person that steps into this place would feel the warmth and the welcome and the love of God. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV teams. So let's pray for our leaders, our volunteers. Let's pray that as they lead us in worship and as they take care of all the sound and all the equipment, that there'll be a real anointing over them and that they would really lead with all of their heart. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our house churches, First Street, Fontana, House to House, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lido, Old Peak Road, and Soho. Let's ask for God's hand upon our leaders, our hosts. Let's pray that people really connect with God and with one another during this time. And I know it's not on the list here, but if you could pray for Virginia and her family. We had a funeral service here yesterday, and today, this afternoon, we're going to the crematory for her father who passed away last week. And so if you could just pray, just a comfort over the family during this time, we really appreciate it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for exile. Lord, thank you that sometimes you take us into a place, God, to refine us and shape us, Lord. Sometimes we place ourselves there, God, but many times you place us there. And so help us to be thankful in all circumstances, God, knowing that whatever discipline, whatever is going on, is for our good, God. It's for our good and it's for our preservation, Lord, that we may step in to the glory and the destiny that you have assigned for us. And so would you watch over each of us, God, as we maneuver through life and maneuver through these different seasons that may come our way in our path. Help us not to complain, God, but help us to be thankful. Watch over us. We'll pray especially for Virginia and her family today, God. I pray that you'd come and be the God of all comfort and grace and bring encouragement to them. God, we thank you. Watch over us today, God, as we continue to seek your face. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.